This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, in the last 10 days of Ramadan, I was honored to have visited and traveled to two countries which are both very close to my heart, and I really like both of these two countries. I went to Turkey and I went to Pakistan. And some brothers and sisters have asked about some of my reflections regarding the visit. And hopefully, inshallah, I'm planning to write a small article about the visit, which will be posted online soon, which you can, inshallah, read. And in terms of Pakistan, I traveled last year as well to Pakistan, about about 16 months ago, which was a very detailed trip, 2 weeks, which I wrote about as well. I spent 2 weeks in Pakistan, and we actually published a book, and this is the book, 2 Weeks in Pakistan, which if you haven't got a copy, inshallah, you can get your free copy, which is available from our Darul Ifta website. There's an online PDF version as well, an ebook which you can also download and read, and if you want the physical copy, then you have the physical copy as well. A very detailed explanation of all the different madaris and the various scholars and Islamic institutions that I visited. And specifically a lot about Jami'a Darul Karachi and Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. So that book can be read. As for this particular journey, inshallah, a small article I hope to write. But before I do that, I thought, let me just share with you some of my thoughts, some of my reflections on both countries, the visit to both countries. So the last 10 days of Ramadan, it was about 18th of Ramadan, 17th or 18th of Ramadan, I visited Istanbul. Istanbul is the capital of Turkey, and I already previously visited Istanbul once before in 2013. And alhamdulillah, that was a detailed visit. I stayed there for about 8 days. I actually delivered some lectures as well, which were translated into Turkish. This time, we only spent 2 days in Istanbul. Istanbul was, as some of you may know, classically known as Constantinople, Qustantiniyah, and has a lot of history. What we did in this particular journey was, one of my main reasons of visiting was, it was en route to my visit to Pakistan, but also, secondly, I also really wanted to offer my salah in the famous Hagia Sophia Mosque. So Hagia Sophia is a very famous mosque, which inshallah I'll talk about briefly, but when we landed in Istanbul, and when we reached Istanbul, we stayed in an area which is called the Fatih area. Those of you who've been to Istanbul, you'll know the Fatih area, a very famous area. Fatih, it's on the name of Sultan Muhammad Fatih, Sultan the Conqueror, rahimahullah ta'ala. So this Fatih area is a very good, Muslim-friendly, very peaceful area. A lot of tulab al-ilm study there. A lot of scholars and shuyukh teach there. A lot of Syrian scholars reside there as well. And there are some institutes there as well. So if you're a student of knowledge specifically, but generally if you're a practicing Muslim and you want to stay somewhere in Istanbul, then I would really recommend the Fatih area, as opposed to the more popular tourist areas near the Blue Mosque, etc. But Fatih area, there's a grand mosque which is called Sultan Muhammad Fatih, which was basically, which is on the name of Sultan Muhammad Fatih. But the whole area is a very beautiful area, and especially the Çarşamba sort of quarter, which is in Istanbul, many practicing Muslim brothers and sisters, and it's a very Islamic environment you can find in there. So we stayed in the Fatih area, and we used to offer our regular salah in the Grand Sultan Muhammad Fatih Mosque. It's a very beautiful mosque, as many of the masajid and the mosques of Turkey and Istanbul are, very beautifully constructed. The architecture is amazing and unique. So Sultan Muhammad Fatih Mosque is similarly beautiful, large. The adhan is beautifully pronounced. The imam's recitation in the Quran, in salah, you know, it's a very, very beautiful way that they recite as well. It's recited with tajweed. Despite being non-Arabs, Turkey is a non-Arab country, but mashallah, the imams they have now in their various masajid, they've studied in the Arab world, and they are able to recite the Quran very well. Even the adhan is very beautifully pronounced. So that's a very good mosque to perform your regular salah. You will meet a lot of scholars there, a lot of students there as well, inshallah. And even in my previous visit in 2013, we stayed in the Fatih area. We actually, in fact, stayed in the same hotel that we stayed in 2013. So it's actually called the Darain Hotel. Just, I mean, I don't have anything to do with them. So, but it's somewhere that I was told it's a very Islamic-friendly hotel. And I felt it when we went in 2013, and this is why we went and stayed there this time around as well. I met the owner as well, mashallah, really a practicing Muslim brother. So the Fatih area is a good area. In the Fatih Mosque, there used to be somebody called Sheikh Muhammad Amin Siraj, rahimahullah ta'ala, a famous scholar of Turkey who actually just passed away last year, a year and a half ago. A scholar of high level of knowledge and merit and piety, and mashallah, well respected in Turkey, who specially preserved the deen of the Muslims in those difficult times of Ataturk. So he was teaching. He would conduct his regular durus and lessons in the Fatih Mosque for many, many years. When we went in 2013, alhamdulillah, we were honored and privileged to meet him. We attended one of his lessons. He used to have a small room at the back of the masjid, and that's where he used to sit every day, teach there as well. He welcomed us with a lot of warmth and embraced us. And then, you know, alhamdulillah, he granted me and those few brothers who were with me ijazah in hadith. He actually, you know, read out what we call a thabat. Thabat is a collection of all the asanid and permissions of a sheikh, which is then published in a book. So he actually read it out. Like, it took him half an hour to read it. Normally they just give it and just sign it, but he said, no, I want to read it. So he read it out, the whole thing, and then he wrote our names with his pen and then signed it. And especially, you know, when we told him that our connection is with some of the subcontinent scholars, especially Sheikh Zakaria Kandahlavi rahimahullah, when he heard that name, he was like very, very excited and very respectful towards Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakaria rahimahullah and Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi, he mentioned as well. So this time, of course, he had passed away. So we visited his grave. I had thoughts in my mind, you know, of Sheikh Amin Siraj, rahimahullah. But very close by, there's a graveyard, and in the graveyard, he's buried. And alhamdulillah, through Allah's tawfiq, we recited Al-Fatiha and some Quran next to his grave. Also, I met a very dear and a beloved friend / sheikh called Sheikh Muhammad Mujir Al-Khatib Al-Hasani. Sheikh Mujir is a Syrian scholar. When I studied in Syria back in 2001, 2002, around that time, he was quite young. He's still, mashallah, young, but he is not much older than me in age, maybe I don't know how many years, but he studied in Syria, and then he also studied in Jamiatul Islamiyah, Medina University. Very balanced individual who has ijazah in hadith from Sheikh Muhammad Yunus rahimahullah of India, Sahranpur as well, and he met him on a few occasions, and he also met Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani hafidhahullah many times. So Sheikh Mujir, mashallah, he's the author of many books. He actually gifted me some of his books, and he's a master in hadith, especially isnad. His doctorate thesis was on isnad, on the chain of transmissions, and usul al-hadith and mustalah al-hadith, that's his, you know, forte. An amazing teacher. Those of you who've studied in Syria may have studied by him. So when I was studying in Syria, he was a young teacher, and he became a friend to me, but also a teacher. So I used to go to his house, and one-to-one, I read the Sharh Nukhbat al-Fikr with him. I used to have breakfast, or I used to have lunch or dinner at his house, and eat as well. He used to feed me as well, and then he used to teach me as well, read the book with me. We read some other books, the Diribur Rawi and others. So mashallah, I met him in 2013. He's moved to Syria, from Syria to Turkey. So this time around as well, I sent a message that I want to meet him, and he, mashallah, came all the way, and we sat with him after Dhuhr Salah in the courtyard just outside across Fatih Mosque. And mashallah, he conducts regular duruses. He teaches Sahih al-Bukhari and many other lessons that he teaches in Istanbul. There's another sheikh called Sheikh Muhammad Wa'il al-Hanbali. Again, a very dear friend. When I was studying in Syria, he was actually a student. He's my age, and I met him a few times, but we never got to know each other that well. But in recent years, alhamdulillah, through WhatsApp, we've stayed in contact, and regularly we message each other. I couldn't meet him personally because he lives many, many miles or kilometers away from Istanbul. Like I think he said to me, it's like 12, 13, 15 hours drive or something like that, near the border of Syria. But he kept on messaging me, and then he messaged me again, have you arrived? And then I messaged back, and then alhamdulillah, he sent a student, one of his students, he said, I want to send a student to you with all my books as a gift. So he gave me, like one of his books is this, Hadithu la tuftahanna al-Qustantiniyya, a small booklet explaining the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he talked about the fatḥ, the conquest of Qustantinia, Constantinople. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَتُفْتَحَنَّ الْقُسْطَنْطِينِيَّةَ فَلَنِعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا وَلَنِعْمَ الْجَيْشُ ذَلِكَ الْجَيْشُ. Indeed, you shall conquer Constantinople. How amazing will its the Amir be, the leader of that army that will conquer it, and how amazing will that army be? So he's written a small sort of takhrij of the hadith and a commentary of the hadith, etc. So that was quite good to receive, you know, all his books. And we also in the Fatih area, there's a ma'had called Ma'had Sheikh Abdul Razzaq Al-Halabi. You know, on the second day, because we were there only for 2 days, I was returning after Fajr Salah from the Fatih Masjid, had just offered Fajr Salah and walking back. Suddenly, you know, somebody who looked like a sheikh just came to me, and he was maybe in his 60s, white beard, white hair, so, you know, maybe mid-60s or something. And he said, where are you from, brothers? I had my nephew with me. So I said, we're from England. And I said, are you from? He said, Syria. I said, Syria, okay. So I normally tell the Syrian people that I used to study there. And then it happened that he was known and called Sheikh Khalid Khirsa. I actually didn't know him. I know his brother, who was a famous scholar in Syria, Sheikh Abdul Hadi Kharsa. But Sheikh Khalid Kharsa, I never met him when I was studying in Syria. Maybe I might have seen him, Allahu Alam. He's a quite known Syrian scholar. And he said, oh, okay, you studied there. I have a ma'had here. And he has an institute called Ma'had Abdul Razzaq Al-Halabi, on the name of Sheikh Abdul Razzaq Al-Halabi, who was my own sheikh and teacher, from whom I received ijazah in Quran. So he said to us that he invited us to visit him and his ma'had around Dhuhr time. So then Dhuhr time, we went there and we sat with him. And alhamdulillah, very fruitful discussions with him. A small madrasa that he has. It's called Ma'had Abdul Razzaq Al-Halabi. And then we were also told that there's another ma'had called Ma'had Abi Hanifa. Again, a Syrian scholar is in charge, but various teachers. One of the teachers is actually graduated from Karachi, Dar Ulum Karachi, Mawlana Ahmed Rida, his name is. Pakistani scholar. He's actually just doing his doctorate, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, in Istanbul. But he's teaching, he teaches tafsir there. He conducts a dars of Quran in one of the masjids there. Quite popular scholar. A lot of Uzbekistan scholars, students. Many students who are studying there are from the Central Asian countries, Uzbeks. And many of them knew me and they came to meet me because I have traveled to Uzbekistan. And alhamdulillah, I remember there was one really beautiful brother who was sent by this Maulana Ahmed Rida, I think, or one of my friends who now teaches in Istanbul, but then for Ramadan holidays he had gone back to Uzbekistan, Sheikh Adil, who actually studied in Darul Deoband. He speaks fluent Uzbek and fluent Turkish maybe, and English as well, and he speaks Urdu as well. And Arabic as well. He studied in Darul Deoband in India. So I messaged him. He said, look, I'm not going to be here, but inshallah, I've got my students. They will come and meet you, and wherever you want to go, they'll take you. So he sent one of his students, and then he took me to the Ma'had Abi Hanifa, and then we met Sheikh Ahmed Rida, etc. So alhamdulillah, it was a very fruitful two-day sort of visit of Istanbul. And like I said, yeah, the second day, which was one of the main reasons that I wanted to visit Istanbul, was that I wanted to perform my salah in the famous Hagia Sophia Mosque. I read the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about the great Amir that will conquer Constantinople. In Arabic, Qustantiniyya, Constantinople. So many people tried, many Muslim leaders tried to conquer it, but they were unsuccessful until Sultan Muhammad Fatih, known as Muhammad Fatih because Fatih means the conqueror. He conquered Constantinople in the year 857 Hijri. Alhamdulillah ta'ala. And after the Fatih and after the conquest of Qustantinia, the Muslims offered their first Jumu'ah Salah in the Hagia Sophia Mosque, which was originally a cathedral, which was a church. And there's a whole discussion behind it that, you know, it was converted into a mosque at that time. And, you know, there's history behind it, if you want to understand more deeper why this was done. But in the beginning, this, why is it called Hagia Sophia? Sufia. It's not like it's a Sufi mosque or something like that. It's Hagia Sophia. This was the name of it beforehand, from the beginning. In the beginning, it was called the Great Cathedral. And then later on, its name became known as Hagia Sophia, which is from the Greek word divine wisdom. Aya means divine, ilah aya. Aya means divine, godly. And Sufia means hikmah, wisdom. So Hagia Sophia means divine wisdom. And this was a name, and it continued to have this name. And even till today, they'll say the Grand Hagia Sophia Mosque. So it remained a mosque for many, many, many hundreds, 500-600 years, I don't know how many hundred years, through the Ottoman Empire, until, you know, when the communist regime of Kemal Atatürk came, he closed it. And he converted the mosque. You know, when the Muslims conquered Constantinople, the first Salah was the Jumu'ah Salah they offered there. And the Emir, Sultan Muhammad Fatih, he was the one who led them in prayer, you know, the first Salah. And he changed the name of the city from Constantinia, Constantinople, to Istanbul. It was actually Islambul, which means the city of Islam, and which then became known as Istanbul, Islambul. So it remained a masjid until when Kemal Atatürk converted into a museum. In 2013, when I visited, it was a museum. Muslims, non-Muslims, you buy a ticket, like you go to any museum. Oh, this was a Muslim, you know, like a mosque back in the day. And, you know, 700-800 years, I don't know exactly how many hundred years Muslims prayed here. But, you know, now it's a museum. And, you know, like the Cordoba Masjid, Cordoba in Spain, people go and they just think, oh, no, you know, subhanAllah. So like that. Until just last year, alhamdulillah, Tayyip Erdogan, the president of Turkey, he reinstated it as a masjid. And the first salah offered was again Jumu'ah Salah. And alhamdulillah, you can see on YouTube, you know, the live broadcast of the Jumu'ah Salah. We offered our Isha and Taraweeh Salah there in Hagia Sophia Masjid. First time this Ramadan, Taraweeh was being offered after 88 years of it being a museum. So it was just 1 year since they started offering five-time prayers, and the first Ramadan, first Taraweeh was offered this year. So alhamdulillah, we were honored to have offered our Taraweeh Salah there. Moving on quickly, then we went to Pakistan, and there's quite a few things to say, but I'm going to try to, you know, summarize this. I stayed there for 10 days. We landed and arrived in Karachi, which is the main place where I stayed, and then a couple of days in Islamabad, on the 21st of Ramadan in the morning. Alhamdulillah, Fajr Salah, the first Salah I offered was in the Masjid of Darul Ulum Karachi, because we reached from the airport 5 minutes before Fajr Salah. It was 21st of Ramadan, and met my Sheikh and teacher, Sheikh al-Islam, Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani, Hafidhahullah, just after Fajr Salah. Now, in Ramadan, Darul Ulum Karachi, there's no classes, because there's holidays. There's no students there. Teachers, some are there, some are not there, because many of the students, teachers, they actually reside with their families in Darul Ulum Karachi. It's a massive place. So some of the pictures you can see on our website from my previous visit. So, but there were no students, maybe like 100 odd students out of the 10,000 students that study there, because everyone's gone home. But the masjid used to be filled with local worshippers, and many people in the last 10 days observing the spiritual retreat, i'tikaf. Approximately, I think, 300-400 people, maybe 500, I'm not sure exact numbers, of people who are performing the i'tikaf. And mashallah, you know that the masjid is a beautiful masjid. The salah used to be offered in the in the courtyard, because it's very hot. So all the salahs are in the courtyard. The imam's place is brought into the courtyard, and the sufuf, the rows, are in the courtyard. So it's open, and you get a bit of cool air, but there's also fans, etc. Five-time offers being, prayers being offered there. What used to happen each day was Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah, who stayed throughout there, he used to deliver a talk, a general nasiha talk, a lecture, a bayan, after Dhuhr Salah, every single day after Dhuhr Salah, until the last 2 days. His main talk this time, his talk and his main topic focused on dhikr of Allah. يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا and then وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ dhikr and fikr, tafakkur, reflections. Amazing, subhanAllah, amazing talks, like very deep every day. He actually, you remember one thing he said, Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. He said, there's nothing, no other form of worship, Allah says, that do it كثيرًا excessively. Only dhikr, he says, do it excessively. Allah doesn't say, perform salah excessively, fast excessively, but for dhikr, كثيرًا. But very detailed, every day, different aspects of what is exactly dhikr. So, alhamdulillah, that was, conducted after dhuhr salah, and all the people who perform i'tikaf, they would listen, the local worshippers and locals as well, they would listen to the talk for about 45 minutes. Many other students and people who are connected to him in the science of tasawwuf, who have given bay'ah to him, we call them murids, but like his students, many of them, and these are like people who are very close to him, many of them had come from all over Pakistan and beyond. I know a family that came from Australia. There's a doctor who came from America, from Dubai. There was another doctor who, or a brother, came from Dubai. From people from different parts of the world. They just want to come and spend 9-10 days in the company of Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Hafidhullah. He didn't this year, observe the spiritual retreat i'tikaf because of, you know, his condition. He's old, in his age, etc. So he didn't observe i'tikaf, and many of these also didn't, because many of them were going back on the 28th, 29th. They couldn't stay for the 10 full days. Some came for 5 days, some came for 6 days. So many of them, and subhanAllah, like, there was, you know, after every salah, as soon as he completed salah and he's returning, the security guards around him, because of the assassination attempts on him, there's a lot of security, but there's like so many people like trying to meet him. Everyone wants a piece of him. It's just, you know, it can get crazy sometimes. And these people are all, you know, who love him, and all his students, they're all close to him. So what he would do is, after that talk, he would go to his office after dhuhr. So basically he said to the people that, look, in Ramadan, my time for other people, for the work, is between dhuhr and asr. That's it. After asr, do not bother me until next day asr. And somebody said to him that, we want, you know, to invite you for iftar. He said, look, my principle in Ramadan is iftar and suhoor. I never do outside my home, and I do it with my family. And number two, my principle is between dhuhr and asr, I give time to people. But after that, you know, after Isha, I do not sit and meet with anybody. Like, sit down and have a meeting with anybody. If you want to just talk to me just quickly whilst I'm walking, fine. But, and then he told me this personally, that I have a whole line of tasks from after Taraweeh till Fajr. I don't sleep at night, that I have to complete at night, which includes ibadah, maybe his, you know, a lot of ibadah and all of that, but like lots of other works, his books, this task, that task. He has a bundle of letters that he has to reply on a regular basis, emails and letters. So we would go to his office. In his office, the first half an hour or 45 minutes, there's people who, meetings have been arranged, and people are coming in and out and etc. And then also, you know, his letters. So he is replying. He has a secretary, one or two other people next to him. They are opening his letters. Honestly, you see him at the age of around 80. The type of work he's doing, it's mind-boggling. You know, normally people in this age probably go, you know, and you know, in exile, or not in exile, in, you know, go and live in a Spanish resort or island. People who've retired, in retirement. But he is fully focused, you know. He's the head of the Wifaqul Madari, so he's got that job, that work, running all of Darul Uloom. His books are being written, this many letters, communication that every day he has to reply to. So people are opening letters for him, and you know, subhanAllah. And in Ramadan, I saw a different side of him, a very serious side of him, a bit stressed, but a very, very serious side of him. Someone who's really focused, he doesn't have time to relax. And, you know, subhanAllah, those 10 days, I saw that he was very serious. And you could see from first day in Ramadan that he's very focused, very serious. He's got a lot of things on his head. He's fasting, ibadah. He's like, you know, he's got a worry on his head as well. It's like constantly he's in something. Which actually completely changed on Eid night. I saw a complete different person. His face changed. He's now smiling. It's like a whole weight has come over. He was like in Ramadan, I've got a task and jobs and tasks and I've got lots of things to do. He's still busy after Ramadan, but Eid night, this, you know, bit of relaxation came onto his face. So in the afternoon, we used to go to his office. Now, all these 20, 30 people that I've talked about who are close people who, you know, came to visit him, we would all wait in his outside his office in another room because people were meeting him, private meetings, etc. When all of that finished, then his secretary would call us. And 25, 30 of us, and these are people who only he knows and who have been given granted permission, we would go and cram into his office. First of all, he would conduct a dars of the Quran. This dars of the Quran was not specifically done for these people who've come, but he's been doing this for the past few years, that his dars is recorded. One of the brothers brings special equipment. It's like a studio type of recording, and you can go onto his website, muftitaqiuthmani.com website, and you can listen to all the duruses. They are available in Urdu. Tafsir of the Quran. But then what happens is that after they are recorded, they are, uploaded online, but then there's one of the teachers there, one of the brothers, a sheikh, he actually transcribes them, and then it's checked and double checked, etc. And then the whole then it's published as a book. Two volumes so far of his tafsir of the Quran has been published. It's called Asan Tafsir Quran. Tafsir of the Quran, easy tafsir of the Quran. And I have two volumes with me. Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Baqarah has been concluded, tafsir of the Quran, in two volumes. Inshallah, Allah grant this, may Allah enable this work to complete. Hopefully, maybe in 7-8 volumes, this will be a complete tafsir of the Quran in Urdu, just like his father wrote a tafsir of the Quran called Ma'arif al-Quran. And inshallah, hopefully this Urdu tafsir will be translated into English. We're thinking of starting the translation from now as well, the first volume and the second volume. So that would be 40-45 minutes, and we would listen to that. It would be recorded, but it was for the publication of the tafsir. And then after that, if there's about 20-25 minutes left, then he would give us some nasiha, maybe read, you know, from a book of Hakim al-Umma Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala, on tazkiyah, on spirituality. Sometimes he would give some advice. There would be a letter that he would read out, and then he would answer it and explain to us the answer, etc. Until Asr, and then he would leave. And then that's it. And then he would do his things between Asr to Maghrib and Isha, between Maghrib and Isha, etc. Iftar used to be in the masjid, provided for the people of I'tikaf. But I talked about this as well, that one really good, amazing thing that I really liked was that they would give time for people to eat in iftar, a long time. You see, Maghrib Salah should not be delayed, and Maghrib Salah should be offered as soon as possible in normal cases. But if it's a good Islamic reason, like if there's a dars going on, a lecture going on, you are studying, you are teaching, or you are opening your fast, then you can delay it for 20-25 minutes. So in Darul Uloom Karachi, what they do is they don't offer the Salah, Maghrib Salah, within like 3-4 minutes or 5 minutes. They actually let everybody eat for 25 minutes. And normally, I mean, what we used to do, we used to eat properly, that's it. Then after Maghrib Salah, there's no need for us to eat. So we would eat nicely, properly, all our food. And then, you know, we can rinse our mouth and do siwak or brush teeth, go and offer Salah. And then you feel like offering the Sunnah and the Nafil and the Awabin, etc. You're not rushing. You're not rushing. There's no food stuck in your teeth as well. And you know, you've half eaten a samosa and one, you know, kebab in your pocket, and Allahu Akbar. This is what happens when we give like 5 minutes or 3 minutes. Either give no time, just this is what I think, just date and water and straight away. So then you just eat properly after Salah. Or eat properly now and then pray Salah afterwards in a calm way. We give like 5-7 minutes, it's like neither here or neither there. But anyway, so I really like that system. And then after Maghrib, we used to relax and pray our Salah and then go back slowly. You've got enough time, come back and just have a cup of tea or something. And Taraweeh, mashallah, Quran was concluded. The Khatam of the Quran took place on 25th Ramadan, but they don't make like a massive thing of it. It was just the Khatam of the Quran, and it's like a normal dua, like every other day. There wasn't anything major. And so this was, alhamdulillah. And also, I was one of my teachers, Sheikh Mufti Mahmud Ashraf Uthmani, rahimahullah, regarding whom I've written in my book, 2 Weeks in Pakistan. I visited him, and I went last year, we went to his house. So this time, he passed away 3-4 months ago. So this time, we went and visited his sons. And you know, I remember I sat on the same place where I sat last year. But this time, I was meeting his sons and his passed away now. So these thoughts came to mind as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him and enlighten his grave and grant him great reward. Sheikh Mufti Mahmoud Ashraf Uthmani, who was one of the muftis, main major mufti of the Darul Ifta of Darul Ulum Karachi, and also a teacher of hadith, teacher of Sahih al-Bukhari. One highlight for me was on Eid day, I was able to offer Eid Salah with Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah. He does not lead Eid Salah in Darul Ulum Karachi. He actually, for many years, for 40 odd years, he has been traveling to a musalla, Eidgah musalla, where in the open, I think some said about 100,000, some said 150,000, I don't know how many, but there's a large crowd of people come there. There's a lot of security, and he has to travel because of the situation in Pakistan with a lot of security. So I didn't know if I could travel because nobody travels with him. But on the Fajr, on Eid day, I met him and he said to me, inshallah, I'll be going for Eid Salah. So I'll be leaving at around 7:45. So you go get ready and get ready by 7:30. Get here outside my house for 7:30. So I was quite excited. I quickly, after Fajr Salah, got ready. I was kind of already ready anyway. I had something to eat and and then went with him. Now, this was experience because he goes with massive security. There's like a car of like army personnel granted by the government. This is a security that is given to high ministers. This was after the assassination attempt on him in 2019. So there was only two cars. The rest were all security cars. So there was a car of security, and then another car, then another car. They're like people, 12 bodyguards with, you know, rangers, and there's a police car behind, and another police car, and there's like sirens. But the traveling cars are only two. So in one car, he sat with his driver, his two sons, and one of his grandsons. And I sat in the car. There was another car, which is his son's car, but driven by a driver, and his four grandsons. And one of his grandsons is Abdullah Uthmani, who graduated this year. A very good friend, mashallah. You know, I used to spend a lot of time with him, and every day he took a lot of care of me as well. And so I sat with him, and he was telling me, he actually told me he should make a blog or a vlog. He said you should make about this, take a video of how the security car is going. And, you know, he kept on telling me I should do that. But you can see some of the images with the videos that I'm able to, which I was able to take at that time of traveling through this whole, you know, security entourage of cars. And then we, alhamdulillah, offered salah there and then came back. And then when we returned, we went straight to the graveyard, which is in Darul Ulum Karachi. And the Sheikh came out with him. We went into the graveyard. I saw that he went straight first to the graveyard, a grave of his father, Sheikh Mufti Muhammad Shafi' rahimahullah. And he recited Fatiha and he recited Quran there. And next to his grave is his mother's grave. He recited there, and then his brother, and then a sister, four of them. And then he went straight from there to the grave of Mufti Mahmoud Ashraf Uthmani, rahimahullah, and he prayed there, and then he returned. There's other people, he went to his sheikh's grave, Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi, rahimahullah, and then from there he went to Mufti Mahmoud Ashraf Uthmani, rahimahullah's grave. There's some other teachers and great people also buried there. Maybe he does recites at their graves as well on other occasions, but this is what he did this time. And then Eid day was, alhamdulillah, like I said, he was very pleasant, and we went to his, straight after that, I went to his house. And I sat there for about an hour or two, but lots of people were coming in. The teachers were coming, and you know, everyone was meeting him, and they were eating, and alhamdulillah, very pleasant. And then the next day, after Dhuhr, he told me to come to his house, and I sat with him for about an hour or so. Alhamdulillah, you know, spent some good quality time with him. And then, alhamdulillah, 2 days I stayed after Eid, and then after that, we took a flight to Islamabad. And that was unique. I stayed 2 days in Islamabad. Islamabad is completely different to Karachi. I thought I was in America, in Michigan. It looks like Michigan or Chicago with greenery. Beautiful green mountains. And next to the mountain is the Faisal Mosque. We performed Salah in the Faisal Mosque. And I saw a few other places. Alhamdulillah, one of my dear friends called Sheikh Faiq, Muhammad Faiq from Islamabad. He actually graduated as a mufti this year before Ramadan. He completed his 3-year takhassus in Darul Ulum Karachi. MashaAllah, very, very learned and very dynamic. And alhamdulillah, I can see a very good future for him. He speaks fluent English as well. and very close to Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthman, hafizahullah. He insisted that I stay at his house, so we stayed at his house. He came to the airport, collected me, went to his house, mashallah, looked after us really well. You know, his mother cooked some really nice food for us. Suhoor had ended now because it was 2 days after Eid, breakfast and lunch, and, you know, mashallah. And he took me around everywhere. There was one or two other scholars that I knew and had met in Karachi, Mufti Dost Muhammad, and there was Mawlana Sheikh Ali Munir. These are all students of Mufti Taqi Uthmani. They stayed with us as well, and they took me around everywhere, and we visited. We went on top of the mountain. We saw the Faisal Mosque and one or two other places that I'm forgetting right now. And alhamdulillah, it was good to stay and see Islamabad as well. And with that, our journey came to an end, and then we took a return flight to Manchester, alhamdulillah ta'ala. So these are just some brief reflections on my visit to Turkey, Istanbul, and Karachi and Islamabad in Pakistan. But like I said, hopefully, inshallah, I hope to pen an article, and when that's released, then there'll be more details, and you can read those details in the article. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.